Hello, and welcome to the ERMI podcast. I'm Joel Applebaum, the Chief Content Officer for ERMI and Captive.com, and on today's podcast, we're honored to have a distinguished guest with us, Anjanette Fowler, Strategic Investment Expert and Managing Director at PNC, where she specializes in financial and investment advice for captive insurers, self-insuring, and traditional commercial clients. Anjanette is here to share with us her unique insights and experiences as we delve into the evolving landscape for women working in the financial services and captive insurance industry. And Anjanette, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks, Joel, for having me. It's good to be here.
Great. All right, to kick things off, I'm hoping you could share a bit about your background and how you got started in the financial services industry, particularly your journey into captive insurance. I think you can share a specific moment or challenge from your career that gives you unique insight into the dynamics of being a woman in this space.
Yeah, no, I think the first question of my journey into the financial services industry is really simply one word: softball. Shockingly enough, I was fresh out of college and had started working in a financial services organization in what they called the runner department, which meant it was a catch-all for just doing anything that needed to be done administratively throughout the organization, from delivering mail to pulling files or what have you. And that started at the end of my college last semester. And through that experience and exposure, one day I was delivering some mail to one of the senior vice presidents in the investment department. And he said, "Hey, quick question. Do you by chance play softball?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "Can you throw the ball from third base to first base?" And the answer was yes. I had spent my entire high school athletic time in playing on our softball team and had really had a whole lifetime of playing softball. So confidently answered yes. And that was the entry point into conversations around opportunities in the financial services industry, specifically insurance asset management. And I've never looked back. So it was kind of a funny way to get in. And it was certainly by accident. I think as many of my insurance industry colleagues, that when we're sitting around and talking about how we got here, it often is by accident. It wasn't that we planned to go to school and studied insurance and risk management, which I think is more common today. But for us old timers, if you will, I would say it's often by accident.
It is. It certainly was by accident for me. And I do think it's changing, Anjanette. And I understand that you're a former chair of the Captive Insurance Company Association, CICA's Amplify Women's Group. So I was hoping you could share a specific instance where the group made a significant impact on addressing challenges faced by women in the captive insurance industry, and maybe how it shaped your personal or professional perspectives around women in insurance.
Sure. No, absolutely. I can share some of my thoughts on that. For me personally, getting outside of my comfort zone, that people that meet me today might not think that I look at myself as an introvert. For the most of my career, I felt like I was. There were particular opportunities over the course of my career where I was approached to speak at a conference. I can attest and remember exactly the person that challenged me in that regard is Janice Vogley with the Vermont Captive Insurance Association. And it was the first year that they were doing their Ignite sessions. And I had never been asked to speak on a panel, but Janice challenged me, asked me, and really was a big cheerleader. And come on, Ange, you can do this. And so that's where I think I kind of got outside of my shell a little bit, to the point where I was approached to participate in CICA's Amplify Women and then at some point asked to chair that committee. And I laid that groundwork because up until that point, I didn't really feel like I had a network within the insurance industry. I had a mentor that within my organization, but it was, it was very, very closed. I didn't really participate outside of my immediate firm. And at some point late in my career, specifically just about 2.5 years ago, I was approached by PNC to make a career change. And I honestly didn't believe in myself enough that at this stage in my life and my career that I could do that. And the networks and the relationships and affiliations that I had built as a result of being involved with CICA's Amplify Women gave me a sounding board and individuals that I felt safe and comfortable enough that I could go talk to and say, I really have an opportunity here, but it really scares me. And I don't know that I'm worthy of this opportunity. And lo and behold, I had numerous people, women and men, because CECA's Amplify Women Committee does have allies within the committee that are male. And just to get their perspectives and things to think about when they had perhaps made a career change. And that was a pivotal point in my career. I feel like as late in my career as that event occurred, it really was the point where I blossomed. I feel like at a place that, and it, with an organization that really supports me. And it's just been a shocking evolution, I would say, of being able to take that leap of faith, if you will. And it was CECA's Amplify Women that gave me the confidence, the courage, and the network of people to cheerleaders, if you will, to take that leap.
Wow. Thanks, Anjanette. In observing the evolution of the captive insurance industry over the years, I can definitely see shifts or changes. So maybe in your view, is there anything that's been especially beneficial for women? Are there kind of nuanced trends that might go unnoticed but are crucial for our listeners to understand?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for about 30 years now, and I alluded to this earlier. When I first started in this industry, I was in the insurance industry, which tended to be male-dominated. And no knock on our male counterparts, they're great individuals. It just was not typical to have women in leadership in the industry. And similarly, I was within the investment aspect of the insurance industry, which had a similar kind of demographic. And I think one of the things that I noticed over my initial stages of my career is I felt like I had to become like the guys to fit in and be able to have the same opportunities of, hey, I need to golf. I need to be able to handle perhaps off-color jokes or just kind of that. There's no judgment in, you know, men and women are different. We bring different perspectives. And I think in my initial stages of my career, I felt like I had to model my who I was and my behavior more towards what men might be more thinking about or how they go about business in these industries, specifically insurance and investment. But I think what I'm noticing, particularly in the last 10 years, and I think CECA's Amplify Women is emblematic of some of these shifts, is that as women, it hasn't really been our natural instinct to support each other. And I don't mean that in a negative way. We just were focused on perhaps family and other things. And I think in looking at how women can create those networks and places where we can go provide opportunities for each other is really something that I'm seeing change dramatically over the last 10 years. And my personal experience with Amplify Women, I think, is very representative of that. I didn't have that, those places to go or committees or events, social events. And I just think as women, we weren't wired that way. Whereas I think our male counterparts are really like, hey, I want to do business with you. You're a good friend and colleague. And if it makes sense, let's look out for each other here. And I think women are perhaps maybe a little late to that game. But I do see differences, big differences, and particularly in the captive insurance industry. And generationally, I think young women in the industry are recognizing it behooves them to put themselves out there and create that network for themselves. And that's not to say that network has to be all women. It's a network of allies, men or women. And so that's the big shift or change that I see in my experience, having been around for a while.
I've been around a while too. You know, when I first started in the business, I had one of my first friends in the business. She was the token female underwriter in the group. We joke about that. And I think that I really like your insight there. Like, you had to fit in as one of the guys. And so it sounds like you kind of shared a personal experience that encapsulates some of the unique aspects of women's perspective in the financial services, at least at that time. And maybe in the captive industry and in the insurance industry, it's changed a little bit, that you don't have to necessarily fit in as one of the guys, but Now you have to fit in as part of a group of women and guys and amplify yourself. So I'm wondering if you could share an experience, a particular experience that shaped an outlook or approach to the industry today that you might suggest.
Yeah, I mean, and this happened more than once over the course of the years, but there's a couple of situations that stood out where I think as individuals, we all bring our different life experiences and perspectives into the room, right? And mm-hmm. to the table. And what cues we pick up on and how we articulate our messages and how we listen and how we don't listen and all of these things. And so a couple of situations that I found early in my career that really benefited me was being a good listener and being not just an auditory listener, but a visual listener and watcher, if you will. And so we'd be in big, important meetings and my colleagues would be going through their spiel of, what they were assigned to talk about. But where they failed was to have an awareness of what was happening in the room in response to what they were saying. And so this happened a couple of times where we would walk out of a scenario or a meeting and their view of that meeting was quite different than my view of the outcome of that meeting, because I was able to say, did you notice that when you said this, so-and-so made this face or wrote this down? And so I think there's, and again, this happened a lot early in my career. And so I see value in bringing different people into the conversation, because I think we all bring kind of a different sense of what we pick up on, how we articulate. Some people resonate with other people better. And if you can have an awareness in perhaps a formal meeting and you recognize right away in that meeting, hey, this individual that's a decision maker is really resonating with my colleague, I'm going to let them really run with that conversation because that's working, right? And I think it's really kind of coming, I'll use an investment analogy. We talk about the concept of risk management through diversification. And I think it's really thinking about, hey, what can we bring into this problem solving, the conversation with a diverse background of people that allows us that opportunity to see different angles and different perspectives and make sure we're really listening to and having an awareness of whatever could be coming at us from the other side. And I've really tried to apply that approach, not just when we think about gender diversification, but we think about generational diversification, right? In the captive industry, I'm elated that there's Sika has their next gen group. That just is just amazing to me. And I'm actually really envious of that group. I wish I'd had that when I was at my stage that they are in their career. And it just makes me happy that those of that generation are able to collaborate and come together and support each other that way. So I think really coming at this with an open mind and that willingness to say, hey, there's diverse views and approaches and aspects that really can help you if you will stop, listen, look. And oftentimes I coach some of my young PNC colleagues, like probably some of the best experience that you can get is not what comes out of your mouth, but is really to listen and see what you learn from what you hear. There's more information in that than trying to make your mark by feeling like you have to present and talk. So I've had numerous experiences in that realm, but those particular ones that shaped kind of my outlook and approach were these two incidents where my colleagues just were not aware because they were so engrossed in what they were saying that they didn't pick up on the cues that were very clearly being projected from the audience.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm tying it back to your earlier conversations and even myself, where you're trying to present and fit in, but you're not listening to the cues. So I think that this is very thoughtful. And for those you were talking about next gen, but even for those considering a career in captive insurance, what advice would you offer that goes beyond the conventional tips? How can that next generation navigate the nuances of the industry while embracing their uniqueness and their perspectives? What advice would you give us?
Well, I wish I were a sage of giving advice. I'm not. But for me, it's really simple. And I didn't do this early in my career. It happened to be later in my career, as I alluded to. And it's just stepping outside of your comfort zone and really challenging yourself to do things that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified to do that, or I feel very self-conscious about doing that. I'm not a public speaker, or I'm afraid to ask that question, even if it's one-on-one. There are no silly or stupid questions. And it's the only way that, in my experience, that you really learn and kind of broaden your horizons. People aren't going to bring those answers to you. You know, the onus is on you to really to grow. And I was, like I said, more introverted for the majority of my career. It's really been more recently that I've stepped out of that, and it's as a result I'm on a podcast today with you. You know, it's kind of like if you'd asked me this 10 years ago, I would have never guessed that I would be willing to do that.
Two introverts on a podcast.
There you go. That sounds like a joke coming. What's the punchline? But it's really, you know, being willing to stretch yourself, and if you're able to find. I never really had a formalized mentor or mentor relationship. It doesn't have to be formal. Find somebody that you feel comfortable with, that you can say, hey, I had this situation and this is how I handled it. Is there something I maybe could have done differently or could have stretched myself further? I think for me, fortunately, I had somebody approach me about Amplify Women. But I think if you can reach out to NextGen, Amplify Women, I know RIMS also has some young professionals groups that they've been focused on here of late. And just really kind of put yourself in the middle. As an industry, I think the captive industry in particular, those of us that have been around a while are very well aware that we need talent. We need people that love the space. My focus, while it spans the entire insurance industry from commercial to captive, my favorite spot is the captive side. It's fun. The people, and I'm not insinuating that my commercial counterparts aren't fun, but we really, it's a small community and it's a place where you can really be yourself and learn. And there are people that want to see you succeed and help you do that. And so get out of your comfort zone. That's what I would say.
That's great. Well, delving into very maybe specific skills or qualities for success in the captive insurance sector, are there less obvious traits that an individual might want to cultivate? What are the intangible elements that contribute to thriving in the industry? You're thriving now, so share that with the future.
Well, I think on a fundamental level, the insurance industry in general is an industry where you need to have an eye for detail. In my experience, you really need to pay attention to the details. And if you can dial that in and then sprinkle in, you know, that willingness to kind of have fun and know that on the captive side in particular, I think, is an industry of problem solving, right? It's really, we're out on the frontier of where the commercial market can't solve a problem. The captive industry is looking for ways to do that. And so a skill set, I think, is really, you need to pay attention to the details, but also if you're a creative thinker, don't be afraid to come up with those creative ideas and say, hey, have we thought about this? Because the captive side of the business in particular is ripe for that. I mean, look at what we're doing with InsurTech and AI. And you know, there's a number of young individuals in this space right now that are on the cutting edge of that and how technology plays into not only the captive industry, but insurance in general. And so I think it really just gets back to having that open mind, but you know, creativity with an attention for detail, I think, stands out for me in my personal experience.
Yeah, I like it. I want to maybe throw in here in attention to detail and knowledge, you know, captive.com, right? A lot. I always hear from young people, yeah, I use that site a lot to gain knowledge, right? And I think knowledge is really important. And one thing I heard you say earlier is attending conferences is really important, where you can meet people, build your network. So I guess considering the broadest landscape of women in insurance and financial services, I'd love for you to delve into specific challenges that might not be immediately apparent. Are there promising initiatives or shifts that could create more inclusive opportunities for women?
Yeah, I mean, I know I keep coming back to it, but Amplify Women and the work that we've done there with a lot of our initiatives. We have, this started years ago. I can't take credit for at all for having the thoughtfulness to a group of women pull together and develop this, the Amplify Women initiative within CECA. And to me, when we think about things that we've been doing, I'm no longer the chair of that committee. Anne-Marie Toll is overseeing that today. But we have an amazing group and committee beyond just the chair role and even going down into subcommittees for our various initiatives, which includes networking, right? We're trying to create places, those safe places for people young and older in the industry to come in and meet a familiar face. When they go to a conference, they're not walking into a situation where they don't know anybody, that there's somebody else there, at least one person. It makes such a huge difference when you're attending these conferences and there's somebody that you can sit with at lunch and there's somebody that you can talk about your conference experience with. So continuing to chip away at that. And so Amplify Women has the networking committee that is really looking at most of the conferences to create those opportunities in a very casual fashion to develop some of those relationships and just sit and visit with folks. We also have an education committee that is working on, how can we help support not just next gen, but again, new folks coming into the captive space. I'm seeing it more and more these days because there's such a talent void where those of us that are, well into our career are now coming into the captive space. Again, sometimes by accident, sometimes, for other reasons, but creating an educational path. And I know getting your ACI and ERMI and, there's lots of places to go do that. But we are, as a committee, we're trying to support that as well. But taking that education down beyond current industry professionals, but how can we take that down into colleges and universities and starting to help support and build those networks to create and drive an interest in the captive industry on the whole. And so, just really focusing on how can we create awareness about the opportunities in this industry. The Amplify Women Committee, I don't have the current count, but I will tell you the last 2 years, Amplify Women membership in general has just grown exponentially. And I think it really comes full circle back to a desire to be able to go to these conferences or have somebody that you could pick up the phone when you're running into a problem in your day-to-day role and responsibility, that you haven't run across that situation, but you know somebody in your Amplify Women network does a similar type of job function, and you can pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm running into this challenge. How have you guys handled this as an organization? And so those are some of the things that I'm seeing unfold with Amplify Women. And when we look at the broader industry, the insurance industry in general, I think there's business insurance and others are really starting to recognize that we need to lift women up and have these diverse and inclusive initiatives and focal points to help support that.
Yeah, I think that's great. As we get ready to conclude the podcast, do you have any pieces of advice for women aspiring to excel in the captive insurance or pursue careers in financial services? How do they navigate the intricacies of the industry, but also staying true to themselves, not trying to have to fit in, but be themselves? So any concluding thoughts on that, Anjanette?
Yeah, and I think that's where, if I think about my own personal journey and how I felt in the beginning, where I felt like I had to become somebody that I wasn't and kind of be one of the guys. And quite candidly, as a gay woman, that was something early in my career I couldn't be real about. And what's interesting to me generationally, things like that really don't matter to them. It's like they want you to be real and be who you are as a person and bring that person into the industry. And so I guess my biggest advice is don't feel like you have to become somebody that you're not to fit in here. I think we're at a time and a place in business in general where people want to like who they're spending a lot of their time with during the day, right? Whether it's virtually or in person, and they can bring their authentic selves to the table. And I really, I appreciate the fact that CECA has the initiatives that they do to create and foster that diverse culture and that inclusive culture. PNC as an organization, definitely long before DEI was kind of the rage, if you will, as a culture, that has been extremely important to our organization. And I really feel that here. I feel like I can be who I am as a person, a mother, a woman, a gay woman, you know, all of these things, and an insurance investment professional, and just bring all of that. And my counterparts that bring who they are to the equation really help us be able to see and provide, you know, I think better solutions and create better connections with our clients, the people that we work with in the industry. And I couldn't ask to be at a better place and a better spot in my career. So if I had to sum it up in two words, be real, you know?
Hey, I love it. I mean, I think that really, I love the story. I like to see organizations like PNC with diversity, equity, inclusion, make people be respected for who they are, what they contribute. We love at ERMI and Capital.com, we value education and knowledge and how we can contribute to make our industry better. And so as we conclude today's episode, I just want to thank you, my appreciation to you, Anjanette Fowler, for your invaluable support of Captive.com through your participation in today's podcast. And also, our community's growth doesn't really stop here at the end of this podcast. If you've been inspired by our content, I want our listeners to share it with a friend. And if you're looking for a way to contribute, consider sponsoring through Captive.com. By becoming a sponsor, you're not just supporting our podcast. You're investing in a platform that amplifies voices and ideas that matter in our industry. So visit Captive.com if you want to learn more. And your support means the world to us. And together, we can continue to bring more amazing content your way. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to share our next episode with you.